Hey, Strongpreneur Nation, check it out. I'm excited to bring Steve Shenholzer to the show today. Steve has become a great friend of mine over the last three, 4 years. You know, we met through a industry event over at Aquascape. They're the Water Garden over at the Water Garden Capital of the World there in St. Charles, Illinois. Steve and I became friends, started working together, doing some stuff with each other, and then eventually we became business partners in the Contractor Sales Academy. And so I wanted to have Steve on the show. Okay, I admit, you know, you're going to hear a little bit of a plug for the Contractor Sales Academy, but listen, let me just call it what it is. If you're a contractor and you're running around with your head cut off like you're on a hamster wheel or something and not making enough money, you just need to join the Sales Academy. All right, so there's my plug, and Steve does his own in the show. But check it out. Steve is an amazing entrepreneur, amazing business owner. He's done so many good things through his career, and he tells that story to us today. So sit back and really hear what a guy who's got, you know, 30 plus years experience in the trades, who's been mega successful. Listen to what he's saying to you, read between the lines, and apply it to your life, and build a uncommon contracting business in the process. Without further ado, Mr. Steve Shenholzer. All right, welcome to the Strongpreneur Podcast, where we build uncommon contractors. And today I'm really excited to have Steve Shenholzer on with me. Steve, how you doing?
Good, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You and I go back a couple of years.
Three years,
something like that. And a lot's happened in 3 years, man. I was thinking about some of the stuff that you and I have, the journey we've gone on over the last 3 years. And I thought, you know, when I was thinking of people I wanted to have on the Strongpreneur Podcast to help contractors get better, obviously I got to get you on here. So before we dig in too much, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, where you're from and all that stuff. And then we'll get going, man.
Okay. Well, I came to University of Maryland in 1975 on a springboard diving scholarship. I was pretty much didn't want to go to school, but I did want to dive. And in fact, my first semester in college, I ended up with a 0.6 GPA.
Were you in Animal House? Were you in the movie Animal House?
Yeah. I think Animal House would be a step up from what I was doing in college. So in case you don't understand what a 0.6 is, that's three F's, one D and a C. So, and I cheated to get the C. So that's where I started. I decided, what the hell, I'll stay in college because I didn't know what else to do. And thank God I did. And because I was a diver, I was always around the swimming pools. And in fact, I used to have to lifeguard, you know, and then work out in the morning, lifeguard in the afternoon, and then work out again in the evening. And because of that, I knew something about lifeguarding. So I got my first job out of college, University of Maryland, working for a lifeguard company. Well, I did that for 2 or 3 years and decided, what the hell, I could start my own lifeguard company, which I did with a partner, which blew up into pretty much the world's largest swimming pool management company. We operated 500 commercial facilities with over 3,000 teenage lifeguards. So I did that for 15 years, and that, although it did make a lot of money, boy, it was not a fun job. You can imagine, Tom, 3,000 excuses, 3,000 teenagers, 3,000, I'm not coming back from beach week, or I'm showing up later, the dog ate it, the flat tires, smoking pot on the guard chair, having sex in the filter room. You know, it was all of it. And
sounds like you in college, right?
Yeah, well, I know. You know, it's funny. What comes around goes around. Yeah. You know, life is funny. So anyways, I got the opportunity to sell that company in 1995, and I did, which allowed me to technically retire. That was just a financial retirement. But within 2 months, I was teaching in a gym, and I started teaching spinning and some group exercise classes, and I did that for 6 years. And got kind of tired of having a lot of fun teaching at a gym, but making no damn money. You know, my first job, I made a lot of money, but it was no damn fun. Second job, a lot of fun, no damn money. So I'm like, what can I possibly do that is both fun and makes money? if that's really what I wanted to do. In my head, that's just how it works. I want to have fun. I decided I also want to change people's lives like I was in the gym business, but I also got to make money at it because it just didn't seem fair to me. So the day after the planes crashed in the World Trade Towers, I completed my first pond. And I remember, if, you know, back then in 2001, planes crashed on a Tuesday. I finished a pond on Wednesday. And on Friday, I did a walkthrough with a new homeowner. And we were sitting there in Bethesda, Maryland. Now, in Bethesda, it's a pretty busy air path. Every 30 seconds is a plane landing at either, you know, Reagan, BWI, or Dulles Airport. We have three major airports. And it was nice and quiet. And right after 9/11, all of us adults anyways were kind of thinking, what the hell am I going to do with the rest of my life? And the waterfall was running. A bird landed right on the top of the waterfall and started chirping. And me and that homeowner were just in stunned silence, just watching this happen. And I just said, you know, I don't know anything about the pond business, but it seems pretty fun, and I'll figure it out. So Premier Ponds was born. That was 15 years ago. So I've been working that for 15 years, and we built or rebuilt over 500 water features in the last 15 years.
Yeah, and it's pretty nice one. It's pretty cool industry, man. And so you're how did you end up building that first pond? Like, what led up to that?
My a buddy of mine who actually remained with the swimming pool company that I had sold in 1995, he started to venture out doing other things. It was a division of that pool company I sold off. And one of the things he was doing was building ponds. And, you know, we remained friends. And he kept telling me for 6 years, Steve, you need to check out this Aquascape pond building stuff. They got a neat system, 20-step system. And I resisted for 20 years. I mean, for 6 years. Because I was, you know, nope, I'm a pool guy, not a pond guy. Then the, you know, and if you remember 2000, 2001, the stock market crashed, which is where I had shoveled a lot of my money from the sale of the first company. So I determined, hey, you know, I got to do something or else, you know, if the stock market keeps doing what it's doing, I'm going to be out of money. So I was, you know, scared and nervous and said, it's time to do something. You know, for most of us, we run in 5 to 15 year stints, I believe, in life where you reinvent yourself. You know, it all starts with, you know, you're done with grade school. You can't wait to get out of high school. And by the time you graduate from college, you're ready. So every 5 years, 4 or 5 years, you're doing something different with yourself. And then we all, what do we go through? I mean, Tom, how many jobs have you had in your lifetime? You know, we work a job for 5, 6, 7 years, and then we go to the next one. We always want to grow and move. And I just knew back then after 9/11, I needed something different. And, so all that was as much psychological as financial, probably more psychological than financial for me to even start a new business.
Man, you know, my mind's going all over because, you know, you and I know each other pretty well, and I know a lot of your story, and I think it's going to add a ton of value to the contractor audience that's listening to this. And I'm looking at my notes. I'm taking notes as you're talking, and I keep coming back to the time I've spent with you, and I'm just going to talk the business side right now, is what I've seen is that you know how to make money, and you know how to lead people. Those are the two biggest things that I think keep coming back as I'm just recapping, you know, our relationship over the last couple of years. And looking back, you know, from your first business that was pretty dang successful, the swimming pool maintenance business, what are some things, you know, either money-wise or people-wise that you absolutely did right and you go, man, let's keep doing that. And then what were some things maybe that you'd like a do-over on? Does anything come to mind?
Well, I do know, I believe the number one reason for my success in everything is I live by the golden rule. I treat people, that's clients and particularly employees, exactly how I would want to be treated. When I got out of college and I worked for 2.5, 3 years with that other pool company, I didn't get treated the greatest. You know, they would use and abuse me, and I always hated that. And so when I started my own company, I decided, you know, If I wouldn't want to be treated like that, I don't want to treat people like that. So my entire life has been filled with trying to come up with a win-win situation in everything, period. And it wasn't always that way, but that was it. And the other thing that I've done from early on is, you're right, I'm pretty damn good at making money because I do two things. One, I track what I do. I find out if I believe a job's going to cost me $5,000 to do, I want to charge 10, okay? And I'm always looking for 50% profit margin. So when I bid something, I always bid it to make 50% or higher. And then I always track it to find out if that's exactly what happened. So those two things from the business side, I track the money and I make sure I'm on with what I'm doing. And I got to be honest, in 30 years of business, I've only lost money that I ever really actually lost money on one job. And it never happened again. And I remember that lesson from a long time ago.
So that's a pretty kick butt statistic there, man, over a 30-year period. And I think hopefully those of you that are listening to this, you know, the two things that most contractors struggle with, most common problems are money and people. And here, you know, we got a guy in here that hasn't lost money on more than one job in 30 years. So pay attention and listen to what Steve's going to tell you here today. So what was it about that one job you lost money on? Because you probably remember exactly why it went wrong, right?
You know, you couldn't be more right, Tom. I remember it today. And you know what it was? In the wintertime in the swimming pool business, everybody struggles with keeping the men busy because you have to keep, you know, a staff. Like if in the field, you got to keep five guys or whatever you need. You got to work them in the wintertime or else they'll leave you. So we got contracted to actually build. We weren't pool builders, but we did a tremendous amount. We did $2 million worth of construction. This is like 22 years ago with just fixing up these pools. Well, someone had us build them a wading pool, a baby pool. And I remember it was $15,000 to build this baby pool. And I went to a builder. I said, what would you build it for me for? He goes, $10,000. So I could have made five grand on that and not touched it. But I thought, you know, I got to keep my guys busy. But we didn't know what the hell we were doing. I mean, we did conceptually and we, you know. So the bottom line is we built it ourselves and it cost us like $16,000 to build it. And it wasn't that I lost $1,000. That's not what pissed me off. What pissed me off is that I could have done nothing and made $5,000. But I decided to go through a lot of learning curve and issues to lose $1,000.
Well, I know in one of our business relationships, Steve, you and I, you said to me, this was a few years ago, right after we first met, it was something along the lines of, I'd rather make an easy 50 than a hard 100.
Yeah, I learned early on, you know, I used to make ton of money the hard way, and then I found out a much easier way to make it, and I decided, never am I going back. I'm going to find, you know, an easy way, so everybody wins, and I found that, and, you know, you talked about do-over. I tell you what, the number one thing I would love to do over is, you know, when I first started my pool business, probably for the first six, seven years, I would pull all these tickets off the wall and give them to my five foremen and say, here, go do this. And you got a day to do it all and come on back and do your job costing. And they would, of course, it was always a struggle to fight. And they'd come back and tell me all these reasons why they couldn't get stuff done. Well, one year towards the end of my career, actually the last 3-4 years of it, I pulled them all in my office and I looked up on my big board, which had 100 service tickets, right? Tile, coping, white coat, caulking, filter replacement, all swimming pool stuff. So I said, you know what, guys? I'm going to try something different. You go pull off whatever ticket you want. Your only goal is to come home, and after you do your job costing, you have to profit $1,500, okay, a day. That's it. Now, this was 30 years ago, 25 years ago. And so the five guys, they were all pulling tickets off their wall. And finally, for the first time ever, I wasn't telling them anything. They got to decide how they go, where they go, what they do. All they had to do was come home and profit $1,500 each and every day. And the very next morning, I got the wake-up call of my life. They came in. They're all five sitting there. And the first guy says, yep, I made $1,500. Second guy said, yep, I made $1,600. Third guy said something like, I made $1,900. And then a guy made $2,000. And without me saying a word, they were just clamoring to outdo each other. So, of course, I'm there, go get more tickets. So every day they would come back. And what they were doing is they were competing with one another to make as much money as they could for the company. Of course, I'm just sitting there going, holy shit, this is all my money they're talking about, you know, but they're having fun with it. And that was the institution of basically our something we do today called a whiteboard. And this is where the employees track how well they're doing with all the upselling and selling and all their jobs. And it's a friendly competition. And as an owner, I just sit back and pat them on the back. So I wish I would have instituted that from day one instead of, you know, 7-8 years into it.
So what do you tell the contractor driving down the road right now, listening to this, and he says to himself, yeah, I wish I could, you know, totally make sense having your guys take ownership like that. I wish my guys could do that, you know. He might have some doubt about how to get there. What do you tell that guy?
Well, I tell that guy he needs to have an honest conversation with his folks, because most people, the truth is, if your employee doesn't feel like an owner, chances are he's not really being treated like one. And I'll give you a real life example. If one of my guys, you know, it could be a fairly new guy, if he comes back and I feel like he didn't have a good, honest day, I would tell him, I would say, look, I'm a little confused. You know, you went out to do, you know, five things and you only came back with three of them. You know, if it was reversed and you were my boss, I don't think you'd be happy with me. So let's sit down and talk and figure out who's screwing up. Did you go out and not get enough done, or did I give you too much to do? Which is the impetus of, you know, me letting them handle what they're doing. So everybody wants to know, how in the world do I get my people on board with a ownership mentality and have them think like an owner? Well, the answer is, you got to treat them like an owner. And, when you start treating people like you'd want to be treated, there's a golden rule again, you get what you want.
So talk about the investment that you've made in your people over time. I think a lot of people think that they have a training meeting and then their people get it, and then they don't have another one for another year or something like that. So what kind of over the years, what kind of work have you put in to help your people think like owners?
Well, everything that goes on in my head, I share with them. They know how much money I make. They know how much money the company makes. They know how much we charge for everything. They know how much we profit for everything. They're fully engaged in every number that goes on in this company. We spent last year like $30,000 on training and this is basically for three or four guys, 30 grand. That's $8,000 a piece. Because I'll take them, you know, across country, sometimes to Mexico, to different pond conventions to learn how to get better. We do a lot of pond building. We do a lot of training and a lot of role playing. We probably role play, you know, when they pretend they're trying to upsell a customer. We do a boatload of that. So we spend a lot of time and energy together. And the one thing that we do is we take, without fail, a quarterly meeting. Every quarter, we sit down as an entire team. We take a half a day, and it might be hiking in the woods. It might be going just to a lunch, but we talk about everything. And basically, where have we come from? Where are we right now? Are we heading in the right direction? What do we need to change? Who's happy with what? Who's not happy with what? And everybody gets to get everything off their chest. So nobody can fester more than 3 months before you get to get everything off your chest, you know, to go forward. And, you know, it's funny, two of these guys, you know, I told them, I treat them like owners. Two of them, I actually made an owner of my company. I sold 60% of my company last December 31st, a couple of months ago, 30% each to my two top guys. So now I actually am the minority owner for Premier Ponds. And I got two guys, Mike and Andrew, who not only think like owners, they are owners.
They are. Yeah. So what do you tell the guy who knows that he needs better people but doesn't feel that he can afford to pay somebody more money to stay or come to their company?
Well, I got to be honest. I know I'm an anomaly with this idea, but Every single person I have working for me now, when I hired them, I didn't need that position. They were good people looking for work, and I decided, what the hell, I'm going to invest in them. Take my first guy, Mike, he's now my partner. He needed to make about 60 grand a year, which was a hell of a lot 10 years ago, right? And, you know, and his position probably paid 40 grand. But I'm like, this man has, you know, three kids and a wife, and he needs 60 grand in this area minimum, just to struggle, right? So I couldn't hire him. I didn't want to bring him in with less money. So I decided just to pay him what he wanted. And he turned out great. And the next year he made 70. And the last few years he's making over $100,000. You know, and I when I go speak up on stages and stuff, I go all around the country and speak to people, and they get mad at me because I'm telling the audience that my guys make $100,000, $70,000, $60,000, and they're like, Steve, how on earth do you even come up with that kind of money to pay these people? And I'm like, because that's what they need to live. So I'm not trying to go, I need a $15 an hour guy. I'm not doing that. I'm like, if you're a good person, I'll make sure that you can live, you know, paycheck to paycheck, at least at first. And then, and my attitude is, okay, I'm giving more than maybe I want to, but I'm going to give them what they want. And in return, they will give me more than what I want. And that's turned out to be the case, you know, at least in the pawn business.
Yeah. I think in any contracting business, it's true. You know, if we want our people to step, if our people want to make more money, we want to give them more money, they got to make our phone ring less, you know? And, you know, I always like to say the less I have to think, the more my guys get to make.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yep. My guys they're incentivized to make money, and they understand fully if they want to make more money, they have to make the company more money. They don't have this attitude that some greedy boss is making all the money. They don't look at it like that. They understand, because I share it with them. If they bring home the money, that's their job. And I will in turn share the money with them, which I do.
So you've been super successful with this stuff, but tell us about a time when things were low in one of your businesses.
Well, I didn't always, you know, I've started several businesses and they didn't do so well. I started a hair salon, a very high-end hair salon from scratch. We actually built it out, hired a bunch of, you know, high-end hair salon hair cutters. And that was 3 years of hell and a miserable experience. I didn't really know what the hell I was doing, but mostly my problem was I was being an absentee owner. And I find, you know, if I can interact with my people every day so they think like I think and vice versa, that's a better situation. So after 3 years and a lot of headache, man, my partner and I had a partner in that business. We lost $250,000 in it. And this was 30 years ago now, or at least 25 years ago. And we sold it for $15,000 worth of shampoo left on the walls. So, and I call that the godlike complex. A lot of people that are successful, especially early in life, they feel like they'll be successful in other areas. And, you know, it's like when I sold my first company, I took, you know, a couple of million bucks and I put it in a stock market. And it did great for a couple of years. But then the year 2000 came and shit, I lost half my money in a year. And I just realized, I thought I was great. I thought it was me. I thought I was a smart investor. But what I had no idea of at the time is I was just a deer in the headlights, just another idiot. Everybody was making money. And then everybody who wasn't smart enough to pull out like me lost their shirt, which is what I did. So I realized, you know, you hear these stories, you know, I know this guy, he made a ton of money. He lost a ton of money. He made a ton of money again, and he lost it all again. You know, we've all heard that, right? The guy that's made it millions several times and he keeps losing it. Well, I told myself, all right, I made it once. I pissed it away once, stock market. If I ever make it again, and I will, I ain't pissing it away the second go round. And I just turned 59, and that's where I'm at now. I made it all back, and I am determined to be smarter and not piss it away.
That's, you know, at least you're not slamming your head in the door over and over, making the same mistakes. So, which a lot of people do. So, if you could wave your magic wand over the contracting industry as a whole, what would you fix?
Well, I believe the number one detriment to every small business is the owner themselves. They have the power to change with the times, change with the situation, or they have the same power to stay the same. And I think this is probably what's happening. We get in a rut. They're doing the same thing over and over and over. And even though they're not getting the results they want, they just feel like they just keep doing the same thing. And they're never going to get better results if they keep doing the same crap they used to do. So the number one thing I would tell them to do is you find someone who's doing what you want. You find someone who's successful. You find someone who's in your own industry or close to it and is killing it. And you call them up and you ask them, hey, can I have 5 minutes of your time? And you ask them what the hell they're doing. It's funny. I went to a seminar a year ago up in Baltimore. My wife is in the mortgage business, and they had four of the top mortgage people in the country. Each one of these people stood up on stage. They make $1 million a year or more, each one of these people. And every one of them had the same story. They found someone who was killing it, and they actually paid or went and hung out and shadowed this person for a day or two and started copying the system and procedures that other successful person was doing. And guess what happened to them? They each became millionaires in their own right. Here's a sad part of the story. It snowed about an inch that morning here in the Baltimore area, as in Baltimore. But my wife and I, we got up extra early. We went up to this thing, and there's a room that holds about, I don't know, 80 to 100 people. And there were like 16 people in the room. And there have to be 1,000 loan officers in the Baltimore, Washington area, all of which don't make near $1 million, that should be listening to the top in their field. But you know what? They decided that day that the inch of snow or whatever the barrier to getting their ass up and sitting in a chair was, they were just too busy to become a millionaire, just way too busy. And it's just a shame. And the point is, for these contractors, you have to venture out. You have to go find people that you want to be like and hang out with them, get their mindset, get their procedures, and do it. Because, you're all in business for yourself. You only know how to run a business one of two ways. You're totally winging it yourself and making it up as you go along, or someone has helped you along the way and told you how to run a business, or some combination, but that's your only choice. So if it ain't working, stop doing it.
No, that's awesome advice, man. I appreciate that. So a couple more questions. We'll kind of start bringing this thing home. How old were you when you started the swimming pool company, when you went off on your own?
24 when I started that company.
All right. So what would the 24-year-old Steve think of the guy on the podcast here today?
Well, the 24-year-old Steve was way different than the 59-year-old Steve. I was full of a lot of brawn and no brains back then. The wisdom over the years, I like I said, I would rather make an easy buck than a hard $2. So the 24-year-old Steve was a type A, go get it, no matter who you have to step over kind of thing, and work your ass off 20 hours a day. And I was working hard, but not necessarily smart. We still made money, but boy, it was the hardest dollars I ever made in my life. And I would say, invest more in people, trust more in people, be open more in people. Don't feel like you have to micromanage and do every damn thing yourself, which is what I was doing back then. And boy, if you didn't do it the way I wanted it done, I could take your head off, So after a few years of doing that, you start to wise up and you realize, just hire a good person. A good person will always do a good job. But I don't care what their skill sets are. Even if you're a painter and you hire a guy that has 10 years experience, but if he has shit for brains, he has shit for brains. And you ain't never going to change him, but you could take a retired school teacher that just wants a different life. He's a good, smart guy teaching to paint. Right. And then you'll have a good employee.
That's so true. Cause good people they want to win. They want to be better. They want to grow. And so they're going to figure those things out when they work for you, no matter what the industry is. I mean, my God, you know, your guy, Mike and Andrew, I mean, how much pond experience did they have before they came to you, right?
Mike had a little, marginal amount, and Andrew had zero. In fact, Andrew, here's one for you. This is the way my brain thinks, right? Andrew was an engineer at Virginia Tech. He worked for me for 5 summers in a row. And finally, he graduates. Says, Steve, see you later. I'm going to get an engineering job. And I said, Andrew, what do you hope to make, you know, 1 year out of college? And then what do you hope to make 5 years out of college? He goes, well, I'm kind of, you know, smart in my class. I hope to make $50,000, you know, because they're making 40 to 50 starting right out of school. And in 5 years, I hope to be a supervisor somewhere, half in the office, half out of the office, making $75,000 a year. And I said, Andrew, you like this pond stuff? Yep. I said, tell you what, I'll pay you 50 grand to start right out of college. And in 5 years, if you're only making $75,000, we got a huge problem. He said, wow, I never even thought about that. I said, but before you give me an answer, you go home and you talk it over to your parents. You tell your parents you're about to piss away a engineering degree and come work for this pond guy. Now, his parents said, hey, if he's paying you the money and you like it, just go try it. And that's what he did. And guess what? Andrew's now my partner. And I trust you, he's going to make way more than $75,000 5 years out.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And I know Andrew, he's rocking it, man. He's doing a great job for you guys and all that. So, all right. So in the intro of the show, I shared a little bit about how you're the other half of the Contractor Sales Academy. You and I became partners in that a little over a year ago. And, share a little bit with our contractor listeners, what that's all about and, you know, why we started that and what we're hoping to accomplish.
Well, let me ask all the contractors listening to my voice right now. I want you to answer the following question with a yes or no. Have you ever gone out to an estimate, a consultation, an interview at someone's home to do whatever you do, plumbing, electrical, whatever, only at the end of it to have the homeowner say, you know, I'd like to think that over. And they send you away. Or maybe they said something like, geezy peasy, 3,000. I was thinking 300. And you're thinking, how on earth do you think I could send a crew out to paint your house for $300? But you leave with nothing. So this contractor who spins his wheels, goes out, drives around in his truck or car all day, giving estimates. I got so sick of tires. And that is totally what you and I are doing, Tom. We are teaching contractors how to have an open, honest phone conversation first, a pre-qualification process, if you will. So when they go to see the homeowner, they have a great chance of picking up a deposit check. No running around, no excuses, no lies from the homeowner, no bullshit. Save time, make money, period.
Yeah, there it is. And this week, the show is sponsored by the Contractor Sales Academy.
Well, that's a damn good. That's a fine organization.
It is a fine organization. Well, you know what's awesome, Steve, is, you know, we have our live summit each year. We have weekly, you know, webinars and classes, great Facebook group and stuff. But I think the biggest thing when we started this thing, we're like, man, we want to change people's lives, have a lot of fun, and make some money. And I've seen so many people change their lives, not just their businesses. You know, I mean, I think about the people that have gotten better shape. I think of the people who've become braver and gone toe-to-toe with things that they know that they've needed to change in their lives, you know, over so many years. And I've just seen, I think I'm most proud of the power of the group, how it really pulls people up with them.
You will be surrounding yourself with other like-minded people. And you'll come into the group probably intimidated at first, because you won't really know what to expect. And then what you're going to find is over 100 people in the group that think and want the same thing you do. They want to save time and make more money and enjoy their business again. And we share wins, we share losses, and it's a very supportive group. Tom and I, as you know, we teach you the lessons and the procedures and the nuts and bolts, but it's the entire group that adds, softens it all up by, you know, helping one another out. So, and you're hanging out. It's kind of like, here's a crazy analogy, you know, for those people that have a serious problem running a business or drinking, they go to AA or Contractor Sales Academy. It is really, it's a weekly therapy group.
Yep.
To get your business shit together and keep it together.
Oh, that's an awesome analogy.
It is. I mean, it's true and it's right. It's in your face. Yeah. And, you know, and then it's from, you know, we are not. You used to have a $1 million painting company. Now you started all over with a new painting company. And I, you know, I made over $10 million in the pool thing, and I've made, you know, $3 or $4 million in the pond thing. So I'm not talking about chump change. I'm talking about serious freaking money, okay, and enjoying life. I'm standing up here in my home, overlooking my beautiful property, talking to you right now. I sit at my command post, but I work my ass off, but smartly, all day. I can accomplish more from pictures on my computer, talking to people on the telephone, and selling jobs than they ever can riding all over town.
That's good stuff. So last question for you here. And we'll cut out here for today is, if you had to put one word to what it takes to succeed as a contractor, what would it be?
I'm going to give you two words. It's called golden rule. Just treat people with the same amount of respect that you'd want to be treated with. If you truly treat people for the right reasons, the right way, the response you get back is unbelievable. Every time you give a dollar, whether it's a literal dollar or a figurative dollar away, you get 10 back. As long as you give that original dollar away for the right reasons. So treat people the way they need to be treated and want to be treated, and you will find they will just return it tenfold to you.
That's awesome advice. Awesome advice. And that works in any business, man. I appreciate that. Steve, we appreciate you hanging out with us today. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do it?
Well, they want to get in touch with me. They can either email me at steve@premierpond.com or go to the Contractor Sales Academy Facebook page and get a hold of us there.
Sounds like a plan. Well, hey man, I appreciate you sitting in with me today and adding a shit ton of value to all the contractors out there listening. And we will we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow at the webinar, buddy.
Sounds good, man. Thanks. All right, Strongpreneur Nation. I hope you enjoyed the show today with Steve Shinholzer. Don't forget to head over to premierpond.com. You can check out Steve's company. And as he said, you can email him at steve@premierpond.com if you have any questions or want to, you know, learn more about what he's doing. Also, as we talked about on the show, head over to the Facebook group, the Strongpreneur Nation Mastermind group, where you can join that group of other like-minded contractors, throw out challenges that you're having, and let the group attack those and help you work through those types of things. Also, check out the Contractor Sales Academy. On Facebook, just put that in the search bar and you can come across that. If you enjoyed today's show, if it added any value to you at all, please head over to iTunes and give us a rating and a review. We really appreciate that. We want to be able to reach more contractors and help them build uncommon businesses. And so we'd really appreciate if you did that over at the Strongpreneur Podcast on iTunes. And with that, if you have any questions that you would like us to address on the show, certain situations, or maybe you have guests in mind who would add a lot of value to the community here, please let us know. You can email me at tom@motorhard.com. And I'm happy to address any of those questions you might have either on the podcast or in the Facebook group. And with that, Travis, bring those guitars in and we'll see you guys next time.